Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, May 9, 2024, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We are in the first three verses, which presents the development of virtue love. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first epistle of John is the great epistle on teaching us the ultimate objective for the spiritual life. And the short time while we are here, and we're here just a very short time, we are here to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. The Apostle John makes that clear again and again and again throughout 1 John. And now we have come to chapter 5, the culmination of this great epistle on virtue love. And in 1 John 5, 1 to 3, we have the development of virtue love. The development of virtue love includes three stages. Stage 1 of the development of virtue love is personal love for God the Father. Now that is a great motivational virtue. That has to come first before you will ever have impersonal love. You will never have unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind. For example, for the Democrats. For the anti-Semitic people that are, well, Nazis in America, hating Israel, hating Jews. And we're commanded to have unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind. You'll never have impersonal love for all mankind until you first of all have stage one. Stage one has to come first, personal love for God the Father. And the only way you're going to fulfill and have personal love for God the Father is to fulfill the royal commission that God has commissioned us all, and that is our royal priesthood. priesthood. God has made every one of us a priest. You are royal priests. And it's only by fulfilling your royal priesthood that you will ever develop stage one, personal love for God the Father. And fulfilling your royal priesthood, well, that involves some decisions on your part. It involves you, first of all, you have to have positive volition to want to know God, to want to know the Word of God. And then seek out a sound doctrinal teaching church. And I'll be real clear and honest, that's almost impossible to find in America today. Almost impossible. When you find a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church, well, then you have more decisions to make. You have decisions to get your patootie in for face-to-face Bible teaching. And that's always the best, by the way. Now, I know we got so much computers and iPads and iPhones and all this stuff, and you are caught up, many of you, in all this crap. And that's what it is, as far as I'm concerned, crap. But you're caught up in it, and it's okay. But it's not face-to-face Bible teaching. It just is not. Very interesting. There's more people in California, believers, that are leaving. I don't blame them. I don't know how you could live there in the first place. Leaving, and we've been contacted by people that... they are sick and tired of what's going on in California, and they want to get in a sound Bible teaching church and get face-to-face teaching. That's what they want. And so you might see some new faces coming in here. They have been, well, listening by way of MP3s and all different kinds of things. It's okay. It takes up the slack. But it's not face-to-face. You see, now you're here face-to-face with me. Now, and you're so blessed to have such a handsome face up here. No, I'm just kidding. That's a test, just to look at this ugly mug that's in here night after night after night. You have to make decisions to want to be there. But when you have positive volition and genuine humility, this is the happy place. This is my happy place. All my grandkids know it's my happy place. All my kids know this is my happy place. And I am here, and that I'm here because of stage three of virtue love. And we haven't quite got there yet. But stage one, that has to come first, personal love for God the Father. And how are you ever going to get personal love for God the Father? By fulfilling your royal priesthood. You represent yourself before the Lord. You assemble in a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That has to come first. When you have that, that motivates stage two. And stage two is impersonal love for all mankind. Unconditional. Impersonal love for all mankind. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now in our passage, the impersonal love for all is for the royal family of God. And I'll tell you, in the royal family of God today, there's a lot of bad and ugly and very few good. But when you have impersonal love for all, it's for all the royal family of God, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is a great functional virtue, unconditional impersonal love for all. But first of all, you have to have stage one, personal love for God the Father. When you have that, that is the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue. But that's stage two. There is stage three. And stage three, that is occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, occupation with Jesus Christ, stage three, is also a motivational virtue. Not only is personal love for God the Father a motivational virtue, occupation with Jesus Christ, personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ, is also a great motivational virtue. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Do you love me, Peter?" Occupation with Jesus Christ. "Do you love me, Peter?" And he answered. Three different times the Lord asked, "Do you love me? Love me, love me." And he said, "Yes, I do, I do, I do." And then he said, "Then feed my sheep." You know, the great motivational virtue for the faithful communicator of the Word of God. You know what motivates the faithful communicator of the Word of God? You know what motivated the Apostle Paul to go all over the Roman Empire and communicate the mind of Christ, the grace and truth of the Word of God? His occupation with Jesus Christ. That's what motivated Paul. He had this phenomenal occupation with Christ, stage three. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that motivated him. He had more divine good production than all of you put together. No one's come close to the divine good production of the Apostle Paul. He went all over the Roman Empire proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers, proclaiming the grace and truth of the Word of God to believers. And he did it day after day after day with all categories of undeserved suffering for blessing. And it didn't deter him at all. A lot of people, they had all of the suffering that the Apostle Paul went through. They'd say, "Hey, I'm going to try something else. I'm going to get out of this racket. I'm going to do something else. I think I might be a fishing guide, take people fishing, or a hunting guide, take them hunting. Anything except this. I'm getting clobbered." Not Paul. What motivated Paul? The greatest communicator of the grace gospel and the grace and truth of the Word of God. What motivated him? His occupation with Jesus Christ. And that's what motivates every faithful communicator of the Word of God. "Do you love me, Pastor Olson?" The Lord asked me the same thing that he asks every pastor. "Do you love me, Pastor Olson? Then feed my sheep." Why do I come here every day and study, 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 study? Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. Why do I teach five times a week? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, twice on Sunday. Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing, nothing else I would want to do. So, this is also a great motivational virtue. Do you love me, Pastor Olson? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Paul? Then feed my sheep. And the only way a faithful communicator can feed the Lord's sheep is to study, 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 study. Study and teach, study and teach, study and teach. So there's three stages of virtue love. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life, for you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Stage one, personal love for God the Father. Stage two, unconditional, impersonal love for all mankind. Stage three, occupation with Jesus Christ. Personal love for God is a great motivational virtue, a virtue love. Stage one of virtue love. And therefore, personal love for God must precede the great functional virtue of virtue love, which is impersonal love for all. Stage two of virtue love. Personal love for God is invisible, as well as occupation with Jesus Christ. No one can see that Jesus Christ has made himself at home in the winner believer's heart. That is also invisible. Impersonal love for all is visible and has great visible impact. Personal love for God is great confidence. Confidence in God and confidence in His Word. And when you develop personal love for God by fulfilling the royal commission of your royal priesthood, you will have great confidence in God and His Word. And as a result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then you are going to have the most phenomenal life. That short time while you're here on earth, as well as for all eternity. And your security is not anything that man can provide. Your security is totally in the living and true God. When you have personal love for God and confidence in God and His Word, then you have the greatest security ever in your soul. And we saw that in Jeremiah 17, 5 to 10, Psalm 118, 6 to 9, 1 John 3, 21 and 22. We exegeted verse 1, which sounds like this. Everyone who believes, and this is so powerful because you have the predicate nominative. The whole purpose of this sentence is to predicate that Jesus is the Christ. It doesn't identify Him as Jesus Christ, but it predicates Jesus is the Christ. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Anointed One by God the Father, he has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father, the one who regenerates with personal love for God, also loves the one who has been regenerated by Him, all fellow believers, with impersonal love for all. So one, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. All three stages. Stage one, personal love for God the Father. Stage two, impersonal love, unconditional impersonal love for all mankind. Stage three, occupation with Jesus Christ. Two, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, both of them are great motivating virtues. Personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Both of them are great motivating virtues. Three, they are invisible virtues. People can't see your personal love for God the Father. And they can't see your occupation with Jesus Christ, that He's made Himself at home in your heart. Both of these, stage one and stage three, are developed by fulfilling your royal priesthood, the royal commission being a royal priest and representing yourself before the Lord. They are invisible virtues that people cannot see. They cannot see your personal love for the Father or your occupation with Christ. They are developed by you fulfilling your royal priesthood. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. Now, we noticed this yesterday and last night's class. There is many passages in the scriptures that says the Lord is searching your heart and your emotions. Now, that's an anthropopathism, because it's an anthropopathism for the omniscience of God, because God knew all about you before you were ever here. God knew everything that was in your soul, every thought in your soul, from the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ to physical death or the rapture. Every day he knew with how much Bible doctrine you had in your heart. He knew if you had virtue, love in your heart or not. He knew that billions and billions of years ago. So this, the passages that say God is searching your heart and searching your emotions, that's an anthropopathism describing the omniscience of God. Yes, God does want to know what's in your heart. God wants to know that. And he wants you to have maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. He wants that. He wants you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So you have this really cool anthropopathism. He's searching your heart and your emotion. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at your heart. 5. However, the functional virtue of impersonal love for all, that's visible. It's visible to man. And it's visible to angels. And we're being watched and observed not only by man, but we are being observed and watched by angels. So the functional virtue of impersonal love for all, that is visible. Visible to man and visible to angels. 6. When you have impersonal love for all, unconditional, impersonal love for all, that means you have honor toward all. You demonstrate virtue to all. You demonstrate integrity to all. Then your life has great visible impact. Then your life has great visible impact. When you have impersonal love for all, honor toward all, virtue toward all, integrity toward all, then your life has great visible impact. 7. Impersonal love for all has great visible impact to both man and to angels. Impersonal love for all has great visible impact to both man and to angels. And this also includes you fulfilling the next royal commission, your royal ambassadorship. You have all been commissioned as a royal ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, you represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So impersonal love for all has great visible impact to both man and to angels. And this also includes you fulfilling that royal commission, your royal ambassadorship, representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll be getting there. We're getting close to this in our Wednesday night class. We'll be there probably next week. No, not, it won't be next week. Maybe next year. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us, all of you, every one of you, every member of the royal family of God, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Been given to you, all of you. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us, every member of the royal family of God, he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are Christ's ambassadors. We are royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And that's what is so fantastic, been amazing to see God's grace and power at work at Upland Bible Church and the evangelism team. Now, you have your personal evangelism. Everywhere you go, you are an ambassador for Christ and represent the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world everywhere you go. And because you understand your royal ambassadorship, and because you've been prepared and advanced to spiritual adulthood by fulfilling your royal priesthood, you're aware and you are sensitive to recognize, hey, God has just given me an opportunity. God has opened a door here. God has given me an opportunity to use my royal ambassadorship and present Jesus Christ to him, the grace gospel. And you are so sensitive to that you immediately recognize, oh yeah, I see what God's doing here. He's opened the door so that I can fulfill my royal ambassadorship and present Jesus Christ, the grace gospel. And you do it individually, everywhere you go and all that you do. And Upland Bible Church, we have the evangelism team, and they have gone all over Southern Nevada, all over Southern Nevada, fulfilling their royal ambassadorship and representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And we have Vacation Bible School coming up here in June. And another opportunity to fulfill our royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. We have the evangelism team going back to Child Haven, to the elementary students and the staff, to fulfill their royal ambassadorship and present Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world again. This is a part of your royal ambassadorship. So you see, as you, first of all, fulfill your royal priesthood, that comes first, and represent yourself before the Lord and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, then that motivates you to manifest impersonal love to all mankind and fulfill your royal ambassadorship. And that's very visible. And that's gold, silver, and precious stones, maximum divine good production, that honors and glorifies God forever and ever and ever. And this is always the way God does it. First, you fulfill your priesthood. First, you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That first. And then that motivates the fulfillment of your royal ambassadorship, presenting Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, that impersonal love to all mankind. You see, that's the way God goes from priesthood, maximum doctrine in your heart first, and then production is a result. It's always a result. Now, legalism, well, I said last night, it's back-ass words. They say, you do a lot, well, then you're a great believer. No, you aren't. If you haven't fulfilled your royal priesthood, you haven't grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, if you haven't developed personal love for God and occupation with Christ, you're not a great believer by your works. That's a result. That's the result of you fulfilling your royal priesthood. But when you do fulfill your royal priesthood, then you fulfill your royal ambassadorship and present the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world and have impersonal love for all mankind. And that is divine good production that glorifies God forever and ever and ever and will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, did I get through the whole passage here? I think I might. I got to ambassadors. We are therefore we are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin, the impeccability of Jesus Christ, sinless perfection, to be sin for us, the imputation of the sins of the world to Christ on the cross. For us, huper plus the genitive, the preposition of substitution, as a substitute for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All right. So you see how the... isn't this fun? Wednesday night class and Thursday night class dovetailed together. And it's fantastic. 1 John 5:1, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the anointed one of God the Father, has been born of God. Regeneration. And everyone who loves the Father, the one who regenerates with personal love for God, also loves the one who has been regenerated by him, all fellow believers, with impersonal love for all. Verse 2. We always start with the King James. By this we know that we love the children of God. This is the prepositional phrase, en, plus the dative singular of houtos, plus the present active indicative of gnosko with the conjunction hati, plus the present active indicative of agapao, plus the accusative plural of technon with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. The preposition en plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun houtos is correctly translated by this. And by this refers to what follows in the rest of verse 2 and on in verse 3. And then we have our friend. This is another verb that the Apostle John uses again and again and again and again. Gnosko. G-I-N long O-S-K long O. Gnosko. Couple of things. One, gnosko generally means to know or to come to know. To know or to come to know. Two, this is the result of living the spiritual life. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, by the supernatural power of God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. The spiritual life is the supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is God the Holy Spirit. And so we're commanded, keep on being empowered, plerao. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. And spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Three, it is the result of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. It is the result of consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. The present tense is an iterative present. You would graph it this way. There's the iterative present, you see. Here's a Tuesday, and here's Wednesday, here's Thursday, and here's Sunday, and here's Sunday. That's the iterative present, see. So the iterative present is the tense of repeated action. Every time you assemble in a sound Bible teaching church to learn and believe the grace and truth of God's Word, the active voice, the positive believer, with genuine humility, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, viewing this as reality, certainty, fact. And then the conjunction ha-ti, and of course, you are right on top of this, you faithful ones. Hati, lots of times it's a causal conjunction, you translate it because. But you know now, after verbs of decendi, yes. After verbs of decendi, as in our verbs, verbs of knowing, gnosko means to know, it introduces an object clause and is correctly translated that. And then not only is gnosko one of John's favorite, but you know this, agapao is. A-G-A-P-A long O. Agapao. And agapao, again, is our verb for virtue love. And specifically used here for the functional virtue of unconditional, impersonal love for all, and specifically, unconditional, impersonal love for all fellow believers, because we have the phrase, ta tekna tu theou. I'm going to give you, just like you have it in the Greek text. There it is. Ta, definite article. Tekna, definite article in genitive. Tu, theou, in the genitive. Theos in the genitive. Ta, tekna, tu, theou. And ta, tekna, tu, theou is the children of God. The children of God, and that is all believers. All believers. Now, there are a lot of bad and ugly believers, but that is included. There's a few good ones out there, but the good, the bad, and the ugly. Ta tekna tu theou. So, corrected translation. By this, we have come to know that we love the children of God, fellow believers, with unconditional, impersonal love for all, when we fulfill two conditions. When we fulfill two conditions. So, condition number one, when we love God. This is the temporal particle hotan plus the present active subjunctive of agapao plus the accusative singular of theos with the definite article. The temporal particle hotan looks like this. H-O-T-A-N, hotan. And hotan means at that time or whenever or when. And that's the best way to translate it, when. Hotan describes an action that is conditional, possible. Arndt and Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 592, tells us that when hotan is used with the subjunctive, as it is in our verse, then it has the force of the conditional particle, like aeon plus the subjunctive. And therefore, it introduces a third-class condition. Maybe you will live the spiritual life and develop personal love for God. And then again, maybe you won't. Agapao, once again, is our verb for virtue love. And here in verse 2, it specifically is referring to personal love for God. Theos is God, the great motivational virtue of personal love for God. That's condition number one. When we develop personal love for God, when we develop stage one of virtue love. So, by this we have come to know that we love the children of God, fellow believers, with unconditional, impersonal love for all. Condition number one, when we love God, have personal love for God, stage one of virtue love. And there's a second condition, condition number two, and keep his commandments. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active subjunctive of poieo, plus the accusative plural of entele with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos. The conjunction chi is a continuative chi and translated and. And then we have a verb poieo. P-O-I-E, long O, poieo. And a poieo generally means to do or to make or to manufacture or to produce. It may also mean to accomplish or to perform. And it comes to mean to keep, to carry out, to practice, to execute. And this is how poieo is used in 1 John 5:2. The subjunctive mood of poieo once again goes along with hotan to introduce the third class condition. Maybe we will execute the mandates of God. Or maybe we won't. You have a free will. And then we have entele. E-N-T-O-L, long E. Entele. And entele means order or command or mandate. We'll translate it mandate. The intensive pronoun autos is used for the third person personal pronoun, his mandates, God's mandates. So the corrected translation of verse 2, by this we have come to know that we love the children of God, fellow believers, with unconditional, impersonal love for all, when we fulfill condition 1, when we love God, personal love for God. And when we fulfill condition number 2, when we execute his mandates. So, 1. God's mandate for the royal family in the church age is to live the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He's given us the mandate, Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered by the Spirit. Plerao. Keep on being filled, empowered by the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. Keep on walking by the agency of the Spirit. Keep on living your life by the Spirit of God, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. And the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that demands consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine so that you can execute God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Two, you have to know the Word of God before you can ever execute the will of God. You have to know the Word of God before you can ever execute the will of God. Three, the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. For, therefore, it is vitally important to get under the authority of a sound doctrinal Bible teacher and consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. Therefore, it is vitally important to get under the authority of a sound doctrinal Bible teacher and consistently and faithfully metabolize Bible doctrine. Five, it is impossible to do the will of God unless you know exactly what it is from the Word of God. It's impossible to do the will of God unless you know exactly what it is from the Word of God. Oh, now we've completed verse 1 and 2. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the anointed one of the Father, has been born of God, regeneration. And everyone who loves the Father, the one who regenerates with personal love for God, also loves the one who has been regenerated by Him, all fellow believers, with unconditional, impersonal love for all. Verse 2, by this we have come to know that we love the children of God with unconditional, impersonal love for all, when we fulfill condition number 1, when we love God, personal love for God the Father, and when we fulfill condition number 2, when we execute His mandates. Now that brings us to verse 3. For this is the love of God. This is the conjunction gar, plus the nominative singular from feminine, nominative singular feminine of houtos, plus the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi, plus the predicate nominative of agape with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. The postpositive conjunction gar, here it's an explanatory gar. Explanatory. G-A-R. Now the Apostle Paul is going to explain what he's just given. You translate it for, and then the demonstrative pronoun houtos H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos And this is the near demonstrative pronoun, and it's correctly translated this, and it refers to what follows. That is, the great motivational virtue of personal love for God, which is accomplished by executing his mandates to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And then the to-be verb, eimi, E-I-M-I, eimi, for this is love for God. For this is, and again, this is a predicate nominative in the emphatic position. The whole purpose of this sentence is to predicate that this is love for God. Present tense is the nomic present. The nomic present introduces a timeless axiom of Scripture. And here's the axiom. This is personal love for God, namely, that we keep on executing his mandates to live the spiritual life. This is personal love for God, namely, that we keep on executing his mandates to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The active voice, the positive believer, with genuine humility, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is once again declarative. This is a dogmatic truth of the Word of God. Agape, again, the noun for virtue love. Specifically, it's used here for the great motivational virtue, personal love for God. Theos is God. The genitive case, now this is I told you, it's why you go to seminary, by the way. And it just breaks my heart. Oh, there are Bible teachers out there that went to seminary, and they study Greek and Hebrew, but they don't study Greek and Hebrew. And they don't teach from the original autograph. They don't teach from the Greek, Koine Greek. They don't teach from the Hebrew and the Aramaic. And, what do they teach from? Well, they get on a computer, read a book, translation. But that's all they're teaching from. And so you always will wind up with going the wrong way. Yeah, there are 26 different genitives. 26. And you go to seminary, and I can still hear Pastor Breckel say, Dick, you're going to Dallas. You get all the Greek and all the Hebrew you can possibly get. You get all you can get. And I was so blessed when I was there. Things have changed there dramatically after that year. That was about the last year the Dallas Seminary was really had phenomenal professors in the languages. And I was blessed to have Dr. Phil Williams. S. Lewis Johnson was there too, head of the Greek department. He was fantastic too. But Dr. Phil Williams, he developed the Yellow Pages. I took a course from him before my first year. In the summer, before my first year, I took a course. He handed out the Yellow Pages and he said, this is what you need to know, everything about this. It explains there's 26 kinds of genitives, there's about 15 accusatives and datives. T- tenses. There's multitude number of aorist tenses, present tenses, perfect tenses. And you got to know which one it is. And the only way you're going to do that is repetition, 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 and follow the yellow pages. It tells you how you can know this. And when I first started out, I was wrong 99% of the time. But so were the rest of the kids. But I took every course I could take from Dr. Phil Williams. Every course I could take. Every year I took every course I could take. And after 4 years, I was right. I was right 95, 96% of the time. That's why you go to seminary. To prepare for the ministry. Sad to say, exegetical Bible teaching from the original languages is non-existent in this country. Non-existent. And Christians suffer because of it. Christians suffer. Well, this is, all of that's free of charge. This is the objective genitive. That's very important. In the objective genitive, the noun and the genitive, here theos, acts as the object of or receives the action implied in the verbal noun to which it stands related, which is agape. And therefore you translate this, this is love for God. Objective genitive. For this is love for God. Motivational virtue, personal love for God. Objective genitive, which you won't get from anywhere else. I don't know anybody today that's exegetically teaching from the original language. I don't. I wish I did, but I don't. And as long as God keeps me here and says, Pastor Olson, keep your patootie in that study and study and study and then teach, I'll be here. I'll be here. Hell, I'm older than most of you and I'm here every night. And I got people in here, young people, why they're not here because they're sick with this and sick with that and something else and this and that. Shit. If I operate the way you all did, you wouldn't get anything. There'd be nothing here. Nothing. But I don't know. You got to realize the communicators, they faithful communicators, every once in a while they have to rebound. So this objective genitive, for this is love for God, that we keep His commandments. For this is love for God, personal love for God, that we keep His commandments. This is hina plus the present active subjunctive of tereo plus the accusative plural of entele with the definite article plus the genitive singular of autos. The conjunction hina has a special use in our verse. Dana and Manti, in their Manual Grammar of the Greek New Testament, on page 249, tells us that in our verse, hina introduced an appositional clause. And therefore, it is correctly translated, for this is love for God, namely, for this is love for God, namely, that we continue keeping His mandates. And that word there is tereo. Great word, tereo. You see, I take the time, verse by verse, verse by verse, word by word, and I document it from the Koine Greek, not some translation, but from the original autograph. Document, oh, every word. And that's what the faithful communicator of the Word of God should be doing. At one time in our nation, that was the norm. That was the norm. I was under two great pastors who did that. Pastor Ron Breckel, Bethany Bible Church in Pullman, Washington. He graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. He taught from the original autograph, from Greek and Hebrew. And you know, when we were, he had a church full of college students, not adults. The adults were negative. It was a church full of college students, overflowing with college students. Filled up the auditorium, so they built a balcony. Filled up the balcony, they took out a wall. Filled a side room, filled in the side room. All college kids, except for a count on one hand, the adults. And we found out that there was a professor at WSU, a Korean, Dr. Kim, who could teach Greek. So five of us from Bethany Bible Church walked into Dr. Kim's office and said, Dr. Kim, would you start a Greek class at WSU? And he says, I've been trying to start a Greek class for years and years, and I've never found two people that wanted to be there. And here we have five in his office. Will you all be there? Yes. And 30 more will be there. 30 more? 30 more will be there. He says, okay, we'll have a Greek class. First Greek class at WSU. We're all, and it's Bethany Bible Church. That we're all going to Washington State University, but we're also growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ in Bethany Bible Church. And he walks in, Dr. Kim, Korean, little Korean, walks in and looks at all the people and walks out. And walks in again. And look, I think he thought it was a mirage. And then he goes, this is the largest Greek class west of the Mississippi River. It was fantastic. But you know, he went on sabbatical the next year. And you know who he went to teach the class on campus at Washington State University? Pastor Breckel. He went to Pastor Breckel and he says, everybody that came to that first Greek class, they're from your church. And you went to Dallas Seminary and you learned Greek and Hebrew. Will you teach my Greek class while I'm on sabbatical? And Pastor Breckel taught the Greek class at Washington State University the next year. You don't find that anymore. That's not out there anymore. We are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. And it starts right in the pulpit. We're not training people. The pastors are not prepared. And then when they are prepared, they don't even use what they learned. Well, we got tereo. This is a damn good word. So damn good, it's going to wait till next week. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our life. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.